KFW Mobile.
JWKF4NXY.
XY, W4DJW. Good afternoon, David. How are you?
I guess I'm going to put some chicken wings on in a little while, have them ready for the Super Bowl tonight.
And you are among a lot of friends. I think there's a lot of people going to be doing that this evening.
You know, told my brother-in-law I'd do up some chicken wings and come over to his house, and he's got his man cave set up with a good-sized TV, and we can just sit in there and chow down on chicken wings and watch a game.
Well, we used to do that every Sunday during the race. Go order some from Wild Aces or Wild Aces or Wild Wings, whatever the name of that place is in Greer. They had some pretty good ones. But you know, you do that for about a dozen Sundays in a row, you start to get tired of it.
Imagine so. This is my first attempt at cooking them myself, so going to kind of see how it turns out.
You like deep frying them in a vat, or are you doing them like on the stove or in the oven or on the grill? How you doing it?
Marinate them and put a few different things on them, and then put them on the Traeger grill and smoke them for a couple hours.
Like they had out there at field day?
Really notice, you know, what they had at field day. This is a pellet grill. It's a part of it's electric. It just feeds the pellets in, and all you got to do is, you know, set the temperature and and the amount of time and let it go at it.
The one he had up there is just a flat top. I think it was electric. I don't remember him putting any wood or any gas in it. It must have been electric. But anyway, it works pretty good. Those are supposed to be the new deal, I guess. Is it easier than a grill? But almost as good?
A lot easier than a regular old gas grill or some of the smokers. You had to keep, you had to be sure you kept, you know, water in a little pail in the bottom of it and watch, you know, the amount of wood you had in it and everything. This thing's pretty easy. You just, be sure you got pellets in it and get it to going, and then, you know, it's a done deal.
What does it use for the smoke?
It uses little small pellets that it feeds in through the bottom, you know, of the grill, and, that produces the smoke.
Well, how about that? Have you already used it before, or is this the first time?
I've used it quite a bit for, you know, turkeys and pork and steaks, but this is the first time I've tried it, you know, with chicken wings.
I know how that does. My in-laws know that I'm working on my cooking skills, so they got me some Omaha steaks for Christmas. Yeah, that was my Christmas gift. And they came in, you know, you had to put in an order for them. They came in. Well, I came in last Friday, and I stuck to them in about 45 minutes and then cooked them on the grill. They were good. Have you heard of those Omaha steaks?
I've never tried them, but that sounds like a good idea with them. You know, just, you know, marinate them for a little while and then put them on the grill.
Well, frozen solid. I guess they got dry ice and a big old chunk of styrofoam. And they're shrink wrapped in plastic. So you just pop them in the cold water. You're supposed to, like, the day before, you set them out in the refrigerator, out of the freezer into the refrigerator. And I'm thinking frozen steaks. I don't know if that's going to be good or not. But if you didn't think of it the day before, you can drop them in the sink with cold water in it for 45 minutes. And that's the way I did it, because I cooked them the first two. I cooked the same day they got there. And they turned out to be really good. They weren't bad at all. Of course, I'm no guru. I'm no steak guru, but I have been getting New York strips from Ingles for the last 6 months and cooking them myself, and they taste as good as those. They're a tad bit more expensive. I didn't have to pay for them. I had gift cards. But they're a tad bit more expensive, but taste about the same.
I was looking online at some meat that it was either Sam's or Costco had, and it was that Wagyu Japanese stuff, and it was worked out to about $50 a pound, so I said, nah, I think I'll pass on that.
I don't track it by pound, I just track it by steaks, and I know New York strips from Ingles can go get two of them. They can be as low as $22 or as high as $30 for two. And these are about the same size, and they're probably closer to the higher end, closer to $30 for two of them. Which, if you go get that same thing from Texas Roadhouse, along with baked potato and salad and all that stuff, it'd come out to be $50. So, really, it's like half the price of Texas Roadhouse if you consider, you know, baked potato and the salad don't really cost much to make.
Really, it don't. I used to like some of the steaks at Texas Roadhouse because of what they'd marinate them in, but then they kind of quit using the particular spice, you know, with their marinating. So just any time I'm in there now, I just usually get what they call the roadkill. It's kind of just a hamburger steak, and it's pretty good.
But more than 6 months ago is when we'd go there, like, pick something up, like, once a month, once every other month or something like that, not that often. And it was good, but, you know, it was getting up around $50, $60 when we went. So I decided just to see, you know, if I could cook them. Just try it. What do you got to lose? So two for the price of one when you cook them yourself. So I'd a whole lot rather do that. And if I want to go get a really, really good steak, which I go there about once every 5 years, go to California Dreaming.
You ever tried them? Now, there was a place in downtown Greenville, I forget the name of it. Went there for my sister-in-law's birthday 1 year. Oh, man, the meat they had was fantastic, but I think due to the pandemic, they kind of went out of business. They're not there anymore. KF4NXY.
W4DJW. Yeah, I think we're going to find that a lot of those things went under. Now, there's supposed to be one that's better than California Dreaming. Its name is Pier 7 or Pier 4 or Pier 3. I don't know what it is. It's Pier and a number. It's over there, co-located with California Dreaming. And we had some friends that used to live in the same neighborhood we did that moved up to Tennessee or Kentucky or somewhere, and they came down through here one time and wanted us to go out to eat with them. So we went to that place, and it was about the same. You know, the food was about the same as California Dreaming. I just can't justify that for the little bit of difference between the food.
Yeah, the wife and I went someplace one time just for lunch, and it was a good meal, but good grief, it was like $55-$60, so ain't been back there either.
It's 101, right? it's like water seeks its own level. That won't last for long. Those prices are going to be coming back down, too, all those high prices. Especially, like, used cars, I noticed. I was looking for a Toyota pickup, a new one. Mine's 96. It's old. So my wife's finally talked me into getting a new one. So I'm looking around and looking around and finding new ones, you know, that don't have everything on them for about 27 to 32. And then the ones that have, like, medium dressing, medium amount of stuff on them, they're like 41, 42. And then the Supermax ones are like 52, 62. And then, you find out you can't get what you want. You got to wait and get whatever they send, the dealership. So that kind of turned me off on it. So I said, okay, we've got the used department out there. Well, the used ones that got, like, anywhere from 30 to 100,000 miles on cost more than the brand new ones. That's just ridiculous. Who's going to do that? There are people that want them so bad that they'll do that. They'll pay more for a used one than it would cost for a new one just because they can't get the new one now.
A few years ago when I was shopping for a truck, that was the situation, was a used one cost as much as a new one, so I just got a new, you know, bare bones little Toyota and, you know, went down that road with it.
I'm going to do, but I'm just going to wait a little while. Give the tsunami some more time to settle. The tsunami for prices that came through here, it's got some waves that are traveling behind it that just haven't quite settled out yet.
Yeah, they got to get all their supply issues straightened out and the chips and all that good junk.
Who knows? There might be electric ones that cost less than the new ones that do more. Cost less than do more. That often turns out to be the case right after I buy one. Right after I buy a newer, better model comes out for less money.
Some guys out in the Midwest on 80 meters talking the other morning, and they were saying people out there that had those electric cars trying to travel around in that 15 degree weather, that, you know, they might get the car to start, but they didn't have no heat inside the car, and the car didn't go very far in that really, really cold weather.
DJW, I can imagine. I saw one guy did a YouTube video on that. He did a cross-country trip, and I think it was a Tesla. It might have been something else. He does several of them. He did some of the electric trucks, non-Tesla electric trucks that are supposed to be really good. They're very expensive, but they're supposed to be really good. And he was able to, if you got trapped in a blizzard and you couldn't go anywhere and you just had to sit there for 8, 10, 12, 24 hours, how long would your car last if you had a full tank of gas versus how long would your electric car last if it had a full battery? And it turns out they were about the same. They're pretty close to the same. Now, you know, once you're over it, if you use up all the battery, you're kind of stuck. You can't bring a gallon of battery to the car, or I guess you can, but it's a whole lot harder to bring energy to an electric car than it is to bring energy to, you know, chemical or, you know, petrol car.
That's about the size of it. Well, I probably need to get in there and get to doing this chicken. You have a good day out there. Be careful on the wheels, and I'll talk at you a little later. KF4NXY, I'm clear on your final.
All right, David. Well, enjoy the chicken and enjoy the game. I'll talk to you next week. W4DJW Mobile.
DJW, KD9MKR.
How are you?
Pretty good. And you, Dave?
Doing good. Like a duck out here in the rain. Happy as a duck in the water.
Well, I decided just to kind of stay in today and work on things around the house. Don't even want to stick my head out.
I thought of you. My 40 meters is on my mystery antenna has not been doing very well lately. When I try to raise the power beyond 20 watts, I start getting SWR. I thought about that double bazooka.
It really works well. It works well kind of near, and it works well far. The noise is very low on it, and I actually turned the tuner on the transmitter off because the thing is flat across the whole band. So, I don't know. I really like it.
And you got that from where? I'm thinking about abandoning my mystery for that, or getting a new one.
I think I got it from Gigaparts or DX Engineering. It's Radio Waves that makes it, and once in a while they'll have a sale. I think right now they've got a sale at Gigaparts for something Radio Waves, but I don't think it's a double bazookas. But if you kind of keep an eye on it, every once in a while they'll have a 10, 15, or 20% off, and that's when I got it.
And what was the length on that, on 40 meters?
I want to say 60 feet, but I don't remember precisely, but I want to say it was around 60 feet or so.
Okay, that's not bad at all. I could do that easily. I could put that in perpendicular to my mystery antenna and open up my 40-meter capability significantly, plus give me another direction.
Well, you know, if you want to come over sometime, you're welcome, and you can kind of mess around with it, and we can put the antenna analyzer on it, and you can see what it does. But I'm pretty impressed with it. I really am. And even the that 20-meter one that I've got in the tree, I was out there yesterday looking at it, and it's kind of starting to droop. I mean, you know, it's an inverted V, but it's more like a kind of wanting to be a W at this point. It's still amazing. I talked to somebody in England the other day on it. So, you know, those double bazookas, I'm really sold on them.
I bought in the attic before I got the nerve to put one out in the outside, and it was like 120 or 110 feet long or something like that outside, and I got away with it, but I don't want to push my luck on that too far. But I was trying to do gray line on 20 meters and 40 meters two mornings ago, and Ukraine came in there, somebody from Ukraine. So I got looking up in my logbook to see how many Ukrainian contacts I had and what city they were in. And I have 23 in my logbook, and some of them were in Kherson, some of them in Donetsk, that one called Toulouse or something like that, Tusa, and then Odessa. So I just wonder, when this is all over with, how many of those guys are still going to be there? The ones in Kherson probably aren't there at all.
I haven't seen any contacts in the Ukraine myself in, I don't know, the last 6 months to a year. So I kind of thought most of them were not functioning at this point. I thought they kind of had a cease and desist during the war, but I could be wrong.
Well, I just saw his call sign go by there. Oh, he was talking to somebody else, and then I tried to get him after he left. I think he was talking to somebody in Poland. That's what that other call sign went to, was Poland. So it could be that there are still a handful of them. But I noticed that their addresses are all gone. They're in my logbook. I got their address from 2008 to 2013 is when I was getting those 23. And I had their addresses, but if you go looking them up in QRZ, no address. It's gone. And then they did have the grid square locator, but it was dead center of the middle of Ukraine, all of them. So I guess they've been given instructions, you know, to get your address out of there, and, you know, you can use Ukraine, the dead center of the map. Probably nothing right there at the dead center that would matter. So, yeah, they are. It is a change of behavior, but they're not totally gone.
But to kind of keep my ear open for them, because I kind of thought they were gone. You know, this is KD9MKR. You know, one other interesting thing I was playing around with yesterday, you know, with this 9700, and I've been setting up Winlink FM on it, and I turned the power down to zero on the radio, and I was still keying the repeater. And I was really confused. I mean, I had it down to zero. I went to a couple other repeaters. I wasn't keying them. And so then I finally put a power meter on it. And the 9700 was putting out 0.14 watts at zero on the power meter. And that was, you know where my location is, and you see my antenna. And that was keying the repeater.
Well, that's what crossed my mind, a tenth of a watt. Oh, well, a tenth and a half of a watt from Sutter Simpsonville. That is good. You got to have, like, almost a direct line of sight to Caesar's Head from where you are. Have you ever done a Google Earth sectional view of the Earth between you and the repeater?
I haven't. In fact, actually right now, I'm just looking at the power meter. I'm at 2.73 watts right now. I did raise that J-pole a little bit the other day, brought it up about another 10 feet or so on the tree out back. But I'm just absolutely amazed. So I'm assuming I'm full quieting at this point at less than 3 watts.
In the full scale, it comes back and goes it goes full scale. But it kind of vibrates up there at full scale. It's like between 9/10 and 10/10. vibrating back and forth. So you can tell you're low power, but the audio is full quieting, like you were running 100 watts.
Okay, I just went all the way up to 8.5 watts here now on the meter, so we'll see how that sounds.
On the S meter a little bit when you did that. It was higher when it was lower, and it was lower when it was higher.
Okay. Now I'm going to take it up just a little bit. Just as I'm talking here, I'm going up to, all right, so I'm at 12 watts now. Did it go lower again?
No, it's right up there against the top. It could have been because I was on a low spot. You know, it's not just you and the repeater. It's you to the repeater to you, me to the repeater to me. So you got like four links, four directions there. It could have been me going down on a low spot.
Yeah, it could be. All right, I went back down to 3.5 watts here. So, I was pretty amazed. Because it was really bugging me because I was doing some testing and I really didn't want to be keying the repeater and I didn't want to go hooking up a dummy load. And I, saying zero, I thought it was zero until I put the power meter on it. Hey, one other thing I want to mention, I dropped an email the other day regarding the South Carolina QSO party, which I think is the 25th or the 26th. Are you up for doing anything with the club with that?
I missed that one, though. I saw the one with the flying iPhone, with the selfies with the two bicopter. But I didn't see one on the South Carolina QSO part. But I don't know if you're a member of the Greer Club or not, but that's more of an activity that you would hear more chatter about on the Greer Club than on the Breyers Club. You might be hearing about that from the Breyers Club in the future, but in the past, Breyers Club's more about emergency services and things like that than it is about, long-distance contacts. Not that there's not a lot of overlap in both directions, right? It's not like it's exclusive one to the other. There is a lot of overlap. I'm just saying the bulk of the activity on the Breyers Club is going to be more based on emergency services and preparedness and that kind of stuff, whereas what you're talking about, that QSO parties, that is right up the alley for the Greer Club.
I get it, Dave. I just thought, we're kind of looking for things to, for the club to be something interesting just to not directly get into the contest, but just, to be involved. So that was my thought on it. Yeah, I thought you'd like that video on the bicopter, particularly because what I found interesting, first of all, that site, Hackaday, is a lot of fun. A lot of times they have amateur radio stuff on there as well. But I thought it was pretty cool because of the sensors and the issues that he had and whatnot in doing it. And I thought you might get a kick out of that.
Yeah, with Hackaday. I use that for airplanes more than ham radio. He has a lot of crossover. He has both airplanes and ham radio. Well, I got to get out here for a minute and unlock the gate. So I got to let you go. I got some work to do where I'm at. But it's good talking to you. KD9MKR, W4DJW.
KD9MKR, clear with W4DJW. Take care, Dave. Have a nice and hopefully a warmer day. Bye.
Catch you later. W4DJW, clear.
Clear. I heard you just fine, by the way.